Aloha. Welcome to Island Issues, our weekly public affairs program about Hawaii Island's people, issues, and concerns over the air and online at koacountry1077.com and at lava1053.com. Now, here's your host, Sherry Bracken.
Aloha. Welcome to Island Issues. We're here on the radio every Sunday morning at 6:30 a.m. on Koa Country 107.7 FM and at 8 a.m. on Lava 105.3 FM. You may also listen to the podcast of this and other previous Island Issues broadcasts online at lava1053.com or at koacountry1077.com. Just click on Island Issues and then on the Island Issues microphone. Today we have the first of several interviews to get updates on our island's three hospitals. The last time we had an update on Kona Community Hospital was in 2013, and today that's our topic again. In future weeks, we'll be talking with the top executives at North Hawaii Community Hospital and at Hilo Medical Center. But today my guest is Jay Cruiser, the CEO of Kona Community Hospital, which has a satellite location at Kohala Hospital and some other affiliates. Mr. Cruiser has been with Kona Hospital just around 6 years now, after more than 30 years in the healthcare business, mostly in and around Chicago. Aloha, Jay Cruiser.
Aloha.
Jay, first, before we get into some many other detailed questions, give us an overview of Kona Community Hospital. What is it? Where is it? How many rooms do you have? What are your affiliates? Just give us the lay of the land of Kona Community Hospital.
Well, let me give you the lay of the land of the West Hawaii region, which includes Kona Community Hospital. I'm responsible for the West Hawaii region of Hawaii Health Systems Corporation, which includes Kona Community Hospitals, which is 94 beds. I'll talk a little bit more about what those beds make up in a minute. We also have Kohala Hospital, which is 28 beds. We have Ali'i Health Center, which is our multi-specialty practice. And we have the Kona Ambulatory Surgery Center.
You know, you've expanded the physical facilities you have by adding, for example, the surgery center. I know that that's probably not the number one part of your business, but what is the surgery center?
The surgery center is it's over on Walua Road. It has two operating rooms. We do probably about 800 procedures there a year, 900 procedures, a lot of colonoscopies, a lot of GI procedures, outpatient general surgery kind of things, cataracts, other eye procedures over there. And very nice atmosphere. You know, you don't have to stay overnight, obviously, so you're in and out very quickly, and it's very comfortable for people.
Well, why would you use that? I mean, you still have operating rooms at Kona Community Hospital, do you not?
We have three operating rooms there, and we're busy at the hospital. We do about 200 to 220 cases, surgical cases per month in the three operating rooms at the hospital. So, you know, obviously some things, you know, can be done at other places. We don't have capacity to add new operating rooms. And it's much more convenient for the patient to have more of an outpatient setting where it's much quicker turnaround time and those kind of things. I've been there myself a couple times for procedures.
And you were happy?
Very happy.
You continue coming back. How many patients does Kona Community Hospital generally see on some basis, a yearly basis, let's see?
Annually, we have 3,700 admissions. That's about 18,000 patient days. And then, of course, we have the very busy emergency room that sees about 22,000 patients a year.
My goodness. Well, I do want to talk more about the emergency room. You said you would talk a little bit more about what the different hospital beds are for, that you have 94 beds. Tell us.
Yeah, there are 94 beds. 67 are medical surgical acute beds. We have an ICU or critical care beds, 9 beds there. An obstetric unit, which is 7 beds, psychiatric services, 11 beds. And I should point out that about 2 years ago, we had 18 skilled nursing beds, which we delicensed and relicensed them as acute beds. So that's included in our total.
Okay, when you say skilled nursing beds, what are those?
Those are basically nursing home.
Okay, and you do not do that at Kona Hospital anymore?
No more.
Okay, so folks need to go to a nursing home.
Right, or Kohala Hospital. They have, you know, 22 beds.
Okay. And then here on the west side of the island, there would be Life Care Center, for example. Is that considered the kind of service you're talking about?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, we delicensed those beds because we needed more acute beds, and there were enough long-term care beds on the island to accommodate our patients.
I have no sense at all as to whether the size of Kona Community Hospital is the right size for the amount of people who are served by it. You know, we have three hospitals on the island, so I'm sort of making a rough estimate that more people in North Hawaii would go to North Hawaii Community Hospital. Folks from the east side would be more likely to go to Hilo Medical Center. But you serve at Kona Hospital from probably Hualalai Resort down through Ocean View. So is that right, more or less?
About 89% of our patients come from West Hawaii.
Okay.
We have 3% coming from North Hawaii, 3% from East Hawaii, and another 5% other.
Really interesting. So is the hospital the right size? Does it need to be bigger or is it too big?
At this point in time, we're not at capacity every day. I will say that our volume in the last year has gone up about 15%. So we do have days where we're full, and we do have days when we have to, you know, we call it boarding or holding patients in the emergency department waiting for beds. But it isn't at a critical level at this point in time. Our biggest issue about adding more beds, of course, it's a licensure issue that we have to get approved by the state, but we also need the space.
Which you actually don't have.
Exactly. So, I mean, we'd have to get a certificate of need from the state to add more beds, but we'd have to have more facilities, and we can't add really more beds on the current site.
You know, it's interesting. You mentioned you would have to get a certificate of need from the state. So the state of Hawaii would have to approve if you, the hospital administration, felt your hospital needed more beds?
That's correct. The state has criteria to determine based on population and need how many beds are necessary, and then we'd have to get those approved. When we, for instance, moved our beds from long-term care to acute, we had to get that approved.
Interesting. Is that the way all states operate, that the state has to approve a hospital's expansion plans?
Historically, most states had certificate of need laws. Many states have done away with that, but there are still many states that still have it.
Okay. You've talked about Kohala Hospital. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Well, Kohala Hospital is 28 beds. 22 of the beds are long-term care, so they're basically nursing home resident patients. And then there's 6 critical access beds, which are basically acute care beds. Kohala Hospital has an emergency room, and it is, the last year and a half, 2 years, we've been renovating that. It's just about to open, brand new emergency room. It's beautiful, and we're real excited about that.
How many patients do they get? Do they need an emergency room there, or could they be going to North Hawaii Community Hospital?
That's a good question. I mean, they see probably between 10 and 12 a day.
That's a lot.
And we have a full-time ER physicians, including Senator Green, who's a physician who works up there.
And just for clarification, Jay is referring to State Senator Josh Green, who represents West Hawaii in the State Senate. And for anybody who's not been up there, it's not that close to North Hawaii Community Hospital. So if you do need an emergency room, it's better to have it there than to have nothing, right?
Correct. And I think North Hawaii is planning, and I'm sure you'll learn this later, to expand their emergency room because they're at capacity.
They have spoken about that, and we will be talking about that. But you actually did that yourself. Did you not expand your emergency department not too long ago?
Yes, we did. About a year ago, we added 6 more beds to the emergency department, and we renovated the waiting room and the triage area, so it's a little more inviting when people come in, and it's a little easier to locate. So it's very nice if you haven't been there.
Actually, I have. My husband went there, and he got the good kind of treatment, so what can I say? I mean, I think the main thing about any facility, it's nice to have a good-looking room, but it's also better to have efficient staff who make you feel like they're doing their job, that they know what the problem is, and that they're all about fixing the patient. So I guess that's my personal look at what would make a facility good.
Well, one reason we renovated that area, too, was to make the intake a little more comfortable and more private.
Right. I remember seeing it before, and it's much nicer now, so that's good. So you mentioned Ali'i Health Center. What is Ali'i Health Center?
Ali'i Health Center, it's over at the Keoho Shopping Center in a couple different locations there, and it's basically our multi-specialty physician practice. Those physicians that work there are employees of Ali'i Health Center. We have surgeons, orthopedic surgeons, obstetricians, family practice, internists, over there now, and it's grown over the last 4 or 5 years from around 7 to almost 20 physicians and providers right now.
Oh my goodness, that's a lot. So that means that Kona Community Hospital, you actually own medical practices. You are in the business of providing doctors for the community.
Correct. Most of the recruitment we do these days in most hospitals, you have to employ the physicians in one form or another. For instance, just recently we brought on Dr. Alex Rosenstein, who's a orthopedic surgeon that specializes just in replacing knees and hips. He did his first case last week, and that's all he's going to do. a service we really haven't had here.
Is that a surgery that would have been performed at the ambulatory surgery center, or was that an inpatient surgery at Kona Hospital?
That's an inpatient surgery. He anticipates people staying 2 days for that type of case.
And we haven't had hip replacement and knee replacement here on the island before?
On the island, yes, but it's been sporadic. This is the first time we've had anybody that's all he does.
Oh, well, that's really good. People will be quite excited to hear that because it's sometimes necessary, but it's not that convenient if you have to fly to Oahu for surgical procedures, and then if you have one and then have to come back, it's even less comfortable.
And he's very experienced. He's been doing this for 27 years, and as I said, he did his first couple cases last week and very successful outcomes.
So why did Kona Community Hospital decide to actually employ doctors?
Well, we have to recruit doctors, and the physicians out in the market these days want employment. I mean, it's very difficult and expensive to set up, you know, a private practice and an office, and reimbursements are such that it's very difficult to sustain it. Frankly, we have to subsidize a lot of the practices because of the reimbursement system.
And that's one thing. When we talk about the financials, I want you to comment more on that, because we hear about the reimbursement issue all the time as being a real problem for getting physicians who want to work here. And so I imagine part of the reason you have taken this step is because if you don't, we may not have new doctors coming here.
Exactly. And the other part of it is, you know, the hospital has to be financially successful to have the resources to recruit the physicians. In the past, we didn't have the resources, so we couldn't.
And now you can.
And now we can.
I can't wait till we get to the financial part of this discussion. I want to talk about some specific, I'll use the term specialties, like cardiology and oncology. But before we go there, is there anything else in general about the hospital and the facilities that you'd like to share?
I would like to share that over the last 5-6 years, we've invested $33 million in the facility. We always talk about having an old facility that needs replacement and we need a new hospital, which we do. But with the help of the state legislature and the capital improvement funds they provide us and the resources we've generated ourselves, we've renovated, as I said, the ER. We've added a new CT scanner, new MRI. We have on order this year a new linear accelerator for oncology. We put in new elevators, new electrical systems, new signage, all new floors throughout the hospital. The OB area has all new rooms, so they're very, very attractive nowadays. And we've been able to buy whatever equipment, you know, our physicians need.
That's really, really positive. That's exciting.
Yeah, it is exciting because, you know, in the past we had to get what we needed most and put some other things aside. But now we basically can replace anything we need, and we've been doing that.
Is all the money coming from the state and the state legislature, or is some of this private fundraising?
It's all of the above. The state provides about 15% of our budget. Last year was about $14 million, and that's been typical, and we really appreciate that. We have, back in 2013, we went and brought in some outside consultants to help us implement best practices. These are best practices across the country designed to help us maintain or improve our quality and to do it at the lowest cost possible. And when that project was over, it took us about 9 months. It resulted in about $5 million of one-time savings and $5 million of annual savings. And we've been able to maintain those savings over the years. In the last couple of years, we've been a profitable organization, the only organization in the history of HHSC that has been profitable.
You have to be as proud as can be.
Well, I'm very happy. You know, it's a lot of work from a lot of people, and you know, that allows us to recruit the physicians and replace the equipment we need.
And a brief interruption to remind you, this is Island Issues, and I'm Sherry Bracken. And we're in the middle of a conversation with Kona Community Hospital's Chief Executive Officer, Jay Cruiser. And it's the first of several weeks of conversations with the top executives of our three island hospitals today and next week, Kona Community Hospital. And in weeks coming after that, it will be North Hawaii Community Hospital and then Hilo Medical Center, because we need to really understand what the current state of healthcare is relative to our hospitals. We're going to continue our conversation with Jay and learn more about the best practices audit. We'll talk about what happens when you need to be transported off island and about cardiac care and cancer care, among other things. And then we'll continue the conversation next week with infection control, more of the financials, and a wrap-up of Kona Community Hospital. Island Issues is on the radio every Sunday morning on Hawaii Island at 6:30 a.m. on Koa Country, 107.7 107.7 FM and at 8 a.m. on Lava 105.3 FM. And then we post the interviews online for anytime listening, lava1053.com and at coacountry1077.com. Click on Island Issues and then on the Island Issues microphone. Let's get back to the conversation with Kona Community Hospital's Chief Executive Officer, Jay Cruiser. Give us an idea of what some best practices are. Just pick a couple that would help us understand what you mean by that, what you've done, what you've changed.
Well, you know, it's I get that question all the time, and we had about a dozen people here for 9 months, and so it's a whole lot of little things. Mm-hmm. You know, it can be anywhere from how we order supplies to buy the food to how we do our billing and collection. That's a big part of it, to do it efficiently. It's very complex. And just how people use our electronic medical record. They use the supplies that we need, don't waste any. We bill for everything that we use, those kind of things. So it was very successful, and we're very, very proud of what we did.
I'm curious, how much did you pay these consultants to do the work?
Well, I will tell you, we paid $3.5 million. And as I said, we got over $10 million the first year back.
I'm very impressed. And that's what sometimes people who look at this kind of consulting work say, oh my gosh, it can't possibly be worth it. Clearly, it not only has been worth it, but it will be worth it because you're going to get the $5 million every year and presumably, hopefully, find new things to do to improve.
Well, I got to give a lot of credit to our board because when we proposed this to the board, you know, this was an investment of $3.5 million that we didn't have. And so they trusted us and we implemented it and it worked.
So you have mentioned that you are the Western region, and you just talked about the board. Talk a little bit about your governance structure at Hawaii Health Systems Corporation, the West Hawaii region, and Kona Community Hospital.
The West Hawaii region is governed by our local board, which has, at this point in time, it has 9 members. It can have between 7 and 15. And they're basically responsible for the operations of the facility and all the fiduciary responsibilities that a board normally would have. We're part of the Hawaii Health System Corporation, so we have a corporate board that kind of oversees the system.
And that's the state agency.
That's the state agency. And they provide us with a lot of services like legal services, some financial services, and so on.
Does HHSC at the state level take a look at your day-to-day operations and either make suggestions or give directives, or do they actually leave the management to the West Hawaii Board and to you as the Chief Executive Officer?
By statute, we give them information every month in our meetings, but all the local responsibilities are with the local board.
Very good, because it sounds like it's working. And the folks on the local board, what kind of backgrounds do they have?
There are several physicians, several attorneys, community members, general community members. And we've had a couple new ones come on the last couple months, and they do a great job.
Perfect. Now, to specifics, according to the Hawaii State Department of Health, heart disease and stroke are the first and third leading cause of death in Hawaii. So talk about what Kona Community Hospital and even Kohala Hospital can do relative to cardiac care.
Well, that subject comes up very regularly because the cardiologists we have, at least in West Hawaii, just do outpatient services, and we have no cardiologists that provide inpatient services at the hospital at this time. You know, we coordinate most of our cardiac care, of course, with Queens currently. You know, people are stabilized in our emergency room, and if they need cardiac acute care, you know, a stent or a cardiac cath or surgery, their air ambulance to Queens, which, by the way, we can get them there in an hour, which is within the critical window of time.
And is that the helicopter that gets them there directly from Kona Hospital to Queens?
Correct.
They don't have to stop at Kona Airport to switch?
Hawaii Life Flight, yes.
Fabulous. I mean, that's really comforting to know because, as they always say, there's this golden hour.
Well, and in the past, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, it would take almost 4 hours to get the transport because you'd have to ambulance them to the airport, then put them on an air ambulance, and then ambulance them to the hospital at the other end. And this way, we've cut that time in just a little over an hour.
Well, I see that white helicopter from time to time. It's very readily identifiable, not to mention it flies low towards Kona Hospital. So,
well, and it, we have probably 2 to 4 every day.
Really?
Yes.
Do they still use a fixed-wing plane from Kona Airport under certain circumstances, or is it always the helicopter?
Well, the helicopter's provided by Hawaii Life Flight, and the fixed-wing planes are flown by both Hawaii Life Flight and AMR, so that's available also.
Okay, so there's different options.
Right.
Do all insurances cover the transport? I know you're not the insurance guy or the hospital guy, but do you believe that all insurances cover transport by air in some way to Oahu if needed?
In some way they do, but there also is available, and I have it, is a special insurance you can buy from the air ambulance companies that picks up what your insurance company does not. And it's very inexpensive.
It is very inexpensive. I'd like to mention after we talked last time, I think, is when I looked into it and I bought it. It's like $70 for 3 years. And whether or not we ever need it, it makes me feel good. Just like any insurance makes me feel good. That's what insurance is for.
Right.
Peace of mind. And then to cover the hopefully never to be used eventuality of having to use it. But it was pretty easy to do. So not an endorsement for anything, but I just want to mention that's exactly what I did because I like that peace of mind. So you mentioned Queens Hospital. Does Kona Community Hospital have a particular relationship with Queens?
Well, Kona Community Hospital is a level 3 trauma center. Queens is a level 2 trauma center.
So, and that's the highest we have in the state.
Correct. And so we're all part of the trauma network, and so any traumas get transferred from West Hawaii over to Queens. Yeah, we also have other relationships with them. They read our echocardiograms for us, and we have a contract for them to provide us with our oncology radiation oncologist, Dr. Moon.
There are those who would like to have better cardiac care here and neurology, for example, to have a cardiac surgeon or a neurosurgeon here on Hawaii Island, understanding that the total population of the island is around 200,000 people, and Kona Community Hospital probably would serve maybe a third of them, maybe a little more, just based on tourism and things like that. How realistic and practical is it to think that we might on Hawaii Island establish a cardiac cath unit to put in stents or to have a cardiac surgeon here or a neurosurgeon? I really am interested in whether that's an aspiration that's realistic or if that's something that just given our population isn't likely.
You know, I don't want to say that it's impossible, but the key to that question, which is asked all the time, is you've got to have the physicians. And that's not just recruiting one cardiologist. You have to have 3-4 to have a team to cover call 24/7 and to have the specialties to do the procedures you need. Hilo has a cardiac cath lab. It's not that busy, but it's there. So we need the physicians. Then we need the lab itself. And assuming someone gave us the money to do it, we don't have the space to put it. So there's a lot of pieces to that puzzle, and usually you want to be part of a program that's linked to a tertiary center, because if you do the stabilization and maybe some diagnostic work here, some of the work's going to have to be done somewhere else. So typically, in most settings like we have here, you would be linked to another facility in a way that you'd get part of your care here, and then you get part of your care there. And so that leads to the questions about us having a partnership down the road, which we've been looking at.
Just as my personal comment, whenever I think about having any kind of surgery or a family member having any kind of surgery, I think about making sure the surgeon has done a whole lot of whatever it is. And I mean a whole lot, not 10, not 20, more like 200 or 300 in the previous year, just because I'd like a well-practiced surgeon. And I'm just wondering, how could a surgeon of that nature, a cardiac surgeon or a neurosurgeon, somebody who operates on a heart or a brain, something that's super critical, how could they possibly get the practice they would need if they were here on this side of the island?
Well, we wouldn't recruit anybody that didn't have those kind of experiences too. In a lot of rural settings, they also use physicians that might come over here for a week, so they have the experience, or they may go to several different locations. So that's possible. But it's got to be, economically feasible to do it. You're not going to be able to put all the infrastructure in place if they're only going to do a few of them a month.
Right. No kidding. So oncology. Cancer is another huge health concern. Talk about the cancer care capabilities at Kona Hospital.
Well, we're real excited about that. We have, of course, a cancer clinic with a physician, a medical oncologist, Dr. Hill, who runs it. It's a very successful clinic and has been there for a long time. We also are, as I mentioned earlier, we have a linear accelerator at the hospital. It's 12 years old, and we're in the process of replacing that. That's a $3 million expenditure, and we'll have the most current piece of equipment in the state.
What does a linear accelerator do? Other than, I know at Stanford they have one, but it's for splitting atoms, I think.
Well, this one, like linear accelerators are the devices that deliver the radiation therapy.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, we're excited about upgrading that equipment and getting that in place. So, you know, we have a lot of patients that come here, of course, visitors that come here that, you know, may be having some kind of cancer treatment, and we're able to continue that treatment while they're on vacation, whether it's chemotherapy or radiation treatment. That happens pretty regularly.
Yeah, I was intrigued to learn about that. Last, I think it was November or December, there was a day-long cancer symposium at King Kamehameha's Kona Beach Hotel, and that certainly opened up my eyes to some of the possibilities, and that was one possibility, that we actually are able to give really good care here, and that was one thing that was mentioned, that doctors will call here and they have a patient who's coming here and they get assurance that the patient can get the same treatment.
Well, and our doctors would collaborate with the doctors on the mainland so that they would get the continuity of care that they need.
So we can get radiation, we can get chemotherapy at Kona Hospital. You obviously have surgeons, so there's some amount of cancer surgery done here, yes?
That's correct, with our general surgeons.
Okay. Now, you at one time had and maybe still have a relationship with North Hawaii Community Hospital relative to cancer care. What are you doing, if anything, with North Hawaii Hospital?
At this point in time, we're not doing North Hawaii Hospital is, of course, linked with Queens, and then our radiation therapist, our radiation oncologist, Dr. Moon, is a Queens employee. So we work closely with North Hawaii just to kind of be collaborative neighbors.
But you don't specifically take patients from North Hawaii Hospital nor send your patients up there in general?
We get patients from up there because we have the linear accelerator for the radiation treatment.
Oh, okay. So so at Kona Hospital, you actually do have more capability.
Yeah, we get referrals, right?
Good. And that keeps people from having to fly to Oahu.
Right, because you know those kind of treatments can be uncomfortable for people, and it's always better to be local.
You know, we're talking about cancer, but I do want to go back to the emergency room for just a bit. And the first question is the emergency room, now that you've done all these improvements and changes, is it where you want it to be, or you still need to do things to upgrade it?
What we did, as I mentioned, we added 6 beds. So those beds are new and up to date. In a perfect world, we'd like to renovate the rest of the emergency department, you know, make it a little more private because we still have curtains in much of it versus fixed walls and glass walls.
Well, I've seen other emergency rooms that have curtains that are perfectly nice. I don't spend a lot of time in hospitals, but I remember when I do. Speaking of the emergency room, we have been hearing a lot more about what's called the opioid crisis. And not long ago, President Donald Trump even declared a national emergency. Now, I know that some states really do have very serious problems. I think I heard that somewhere between 7 and 10 states have themselves declared an emergency relative to opioids. What is Kona Hospital seeing in the emergency room as far as folks coming in with overdoses of opioids? Is that an issue for us like it is elsewhere?
Well, I'm not a clinician, but I can tell you that in the meetings I attend with the emergency department and others, you know, we do see quite a few drug overdoses. It's a concern, and it has been increasing.
Okay. Are we at a crisis point?
Well, I'm probably not the one to determine whether we're at a crisis point or not, but I think any patient that comes in with an overdose is a crisis.
Well, that's true. I've done recent interviews with not only the vice lieutenants for Hawaii Island, the two from East and West, but also the assistant chiefs, and I think they feel that we're not seeing what police departments certainly are in other parts of the country. Not that opioids are not a problem or drug overdoses, but not quite to the extent that it seems to be happening elsewhere. And that's just my comment based on the other interviews I've done.
Well, and remember, when they come to the ER, they're there to be stabilized, and then they go back out in the community. And we hope to have resources out there for people so they can solve their problems.
And with that, we're going to take a pause in our conversation with Jay Cruiser, the Chief Executive Officer of Kona Community Hospital. Next week, we're going to resume the conversation with Jay and talk about hospital infections. And we're also going to be joined by Lisa Downing, who is the hospital infection specialist. We'll also talk about accreditation and the financials. And the financials are particularly compelling. And also what the future is for Kona Community Hospital, whether a partner is in their future and what has to happen to make that occur if that's the right direction in which to go. This is Island Issues. I'm Sherry Bracken. This interview and other interviews can be listened to as podcasts online, lava1053.com or coacountry1077.com. Click on Island Issues and then on the Island Issues microphone. I'll see you next Sunday morning for the continuation of my conversation with Jay Cruiser. Until then, please, let's all live and drive with aloha. Ahui ho.
Thank you for listening to Island Issues. We welcome your comments and suggestions. Email us, info@lava1053.com. Join us again next week for another edition of Island Issues, a service of Hawaii Islands Mahalo Multimedia.